Welcome to the Media Line. I'm Lawrence Rifkin. Joining me is René Wildangel, a policy fellow at the European Council on Foreign Relations. Dr. Wildangel, Lebanon has been seeing weeks of anti-government protests over taxes, foreign debt, corruption. Until recently, the street protests had almost seemed like a party, almost fun, jovial, music. But now there's been violence, sometimes provoked against protesters by Shiite adherents of Hezbollah and Amal. Why Shiites? Aren't they angry with the government too?
One of the topics that you mentioned is corruption. Hezbollah traditionally try to portray themselves as a party different from the other parties, not part of the corrupt system, being more efficient in the way they rule in the south, having a higher credibility. And this is the first time that also Shiites came out in large numbers in the south of Lebanon to demonstrate against Hezbollah. In the beginning, Hezbollah's leader Nasrallah was very positive about the protests. And this changed after Hezbollah initially understood that this might potentially be also include criticism against their party. And after about 2 weeks, Nasrallah changed his tone and he said these are actually protests that are inspired by foreign governments, foreign incitement. This is from the playbook of other Arab states that we have seen in Egypt, for example. And this is something that changed the tone in the Shia community. This kind of speeches by Nasrallah incited parts of the Shia community, and I think that was a deliberate strategy. But I have to say it's not only Hezbollah and Nasrallah. I think most of the establishment, they perceive these protests as a threat against them, because one of the slogans of the protest is Kullun Yani Kullun. This means in Arabic, all of them. This is really something significant. We see Lebanese protesters that say, we want a new system. We want all of these old corrupt politicians to go. And other people in key positions like President Aoun, who is a Christian, but who is in an alliance with Hezbollah currently. But he also, until now, has been resistant to this demanded change. He has not been naming a new prime minister. And it's not only Hezbollah, but all the established leaders who perceive this as a threat. And as you said, protesters are now being very disappointed because this has been going on for 2 months already.
In Iran, when they have unrest over economic issues, as they did with the gasoline price hikes, you quite often had protesters saying, enough with things like Hezbollah. In other words, funding Hezbollah. We need the money at home. I believe that we have heard similar things in Lebanon, that there are complaints in the streets that Hezbollah is sometimes leading the government astray in its personal fight with Israel, in Hezbollah's fight with Israel. Does that play a role in the animosity that may be growing between the protesters and followers of Hezbollah?
They do not like their engagement in Syria specifically. Hezbollah was a factor in the Syrian war on behalf of Iran and the Syrian government, Bashar al-Assad. So this is naturally something that the other communities do see very critical. It's maybe different when we talk about Israel. And this is one of the main topics that Hezbollah traditionally likes to talk about, and this is where they get their credibility from. They call themselves the front runners of the resistance. And this, of course, resonates in the first place with their own party base, but also with parts of the other communities. Hezbollah is often addressed as a state in the state. They certainly have the most well-equipped and trained militias and armed forces, while the Lebanese army is only in the recent years stepping up their profile. So they do have a role traditionally in the defense of the country. And this is a large pillar of credibility for Hezbollah in the Lebanese context. So this is why it's now threatening when people do not talk about Israel anymore, but they talk about corruption. They talk about a system that they're sick of, a system that is based on corruption, that is based on on the different ethnic and religious backgrounds of the leaders, but not of their actual capabilities, of their education, of what they can do. Now Lebanon is in a very bad financial situation. So this is, I think, why Hezbollah in this situation has changed the tone, why they do not have an interest in this revolution and this positive change going forward, as other established leaders. But I think it's more about really this system than when we compare it to Iraq, for example, or in Iran, where people are saying we are sick of this foreign involvement. We should concentrate on our own goals.
You are listening to René Wildangel, a policy fellow at the European Council on Foreign Relations. How much of Lebanon's national ills can be traced to its sectarian makeup and the governing arrangement overseeing this? That arrangement seems quite outdated.
Yes, it's very outdated. This goes back to actually a census in the 30s and a compromise that was made first in 1943, so it's very outdated. However, this was the equilibrium, the minimum that was, for the better or the worse, ensuring stability in Lebanon. After a terrible civil war, we had an update of this old arrangement in 1989 in the Taif Agreement, and this is pretty stiff system where it's regulated who can assume the central positions in the state. The president of the republic is always a Christian, the speaker of the parliament is a Shiite, and the prime minister is a Sunni. And this does not only refer to the central positions in the government, but it also goes down to the ministries, to the whole bureaucracy, to the whole system. This is the reason why Lebanon came to this crisis, and I think it's significant that people for the first time really say, although they know when they say we want the system to go, that there might be new conflicts coming. Because as I said, the main idea was stability. But while they were trying to preserve stability and everything that a state needs for its own population to thrive, system of health, public infrastructure, electricity, nothing is working in the country anymore. So this is why people are so tired, and this is why this really outdated compromise needs to go. But there are a lot of vested interests from the establishment, and we've actually profited from this corrupt system. So it will be a large enterprise to actually achieve this change. And I think protesters are still somewhat hopeful after 2 months, but they're also getting very impatient. And this is why we've seen now in the last week specifically the first flare-up of violence in Lebanon. And this is really a moment of truth for this revolution, if it will achieve political change going forward, or if we will see another conflict here between the main parties.
René Wildangel, thank you for joining me at the Media Line. I'm Lawrence Rifkin.